Extend a Christian greetings to each one that is present this morning. It is good to see the house so well filled. And we are glad you came to church this morning. Heard a preacher say recently, he said, I don't know why you came to church this morning, but he said, I'm glad you came to church, because he said, good things happen in church. So I'm glad you came this morning. Those good things are the things of God. God wants us to learn more about Him. He wants us to change our lives to how He teaches us to live in His Word. So good things happen in church. A few weeks ago, I needed to study a marriage sermon, a wedding sermon that I preached, and some of you were there. There's one point of that message made my mind go further. The couple wanted me to preach from Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about the leadership and the headship order. It talks about Christ is the head of the church and so on. And I began to think about the responsibilities of human beings that we have placed upon us, and how that many times we are insufficient for those tasks. And even the wisest among men and the wisest among women have their weak spots, their insufficiencies. And so mentally I started thinking about it, observing my observations over the years of homes, of fathers, husbands, leaders in the home, and the varied gifts and the varied lacks, and tried to, in my mind, see what connected insufficiencies with certain reapings of home life. And my mind didn't stop there. I went to business owners and I thought about how some businesses are so successful and others are not. And I started thinking about the gifts and insufficiencies on that level. And my mind went as I thought about the responsibilities of humans in so many different areas and what we are called to do, and responsibilities that sometimes are really ours to carry out. In my home, I am a father, I am a husband, and there are duties and responsibilities that I have that are mine to do. But and I thought about the insufficiencies, and so this morning it's not about the home, it's about that, the whole concept of the responsibilities that human beings have, that God places upon them. This side of the house, the men's side of the house, the women's side of the house, that God places upon us, and yet in that, we have these inabilities, these insufficiencies. And I'd like to take a look at that this morning and see what God would have us do about that. How He would teach us to bridge those gaps. You can turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, and while you're turning there, I'd like to read a verse from James 1, chapter 5, as you're turning to 1 Kings 3, yes. But James 1, 5 says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Instruction, a promise, that if there is a lack, if there is an insufficiency, if there is an inability, there is this God, the Creator God, the Almighty God, that we can ask. And it says, He giveth to all men liberally. He giveth the wisdom that we need to fulfill the responsibilities, even when there is an insufficiency, an inability in our life. Now, to flesh that thought out, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3. This is about King Solomon, and the story that we're going to read is a dream that he had. And in this dream, he is in conversation with God, and we can learn something here. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse 5 through 15. I don't think I'm in the right chapter. wonder if it's 2 Kings. Let me turn to 2 Kings, chapter 5. That's not it either. I'm looking for...
1 Kings 3.
Okay, I'm in chapter 5. I'm sorry.
Verse 6.
Thank you. Thank you. See, there's an inability come right through. And I mean, I'll bring that in a little later because it fits very well into the sermon. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Solomon is king. And you see his thoughts coming out in his, and this is a dream to God, but it also did come to pass. God did bless him. And so it seems like it was a dream, but it was a way in God was communicating with Solomon. So Solomon, in this passage, you find him as he is king. He feels, he said, "I am but a little child. And here is this great people that I am to be in charge of, to be king over." And he says, "God, I don't feel like I'm able to fulfill this because of my inadequacies, my insufficiencies, my inabilities." And so God said, "Well, what do you want?" He said, I want wisdom. I need you to give me something that I do not have so that I can fulfill the responsibilities that you've placed upon me." And God was pleased with that, and God did that. The title of the sermon is If Any Man Lack. If Any Man Lack. And that goes back to the James 1, verse 5. And so it becomes quite apparent to us that no one person has superb expertise in all areas. We just do not. Some of us are good at one thing and poor in another. Some of you are good in something else and lack in another way. It's the human race. It's who we are. But it also is apparent that many of us have responsibilities that demand success. Especially as we move into the areas of spirituality, the Christian walk, fatherhood, motherhood, being a husband, being a wife. These responsibilities demand success. Because that is what God wants. being a Christian and living out holiness. We might think of responsibilities in church work, an ordination charge for a minister, for a deacon, for a bishop, that ordination charge where God chooses a man through the casting of the lot, as we do in our services, and there is a responsibility placed upon that man, and there is a certain demand of success. We can move to material areas. And as we think about, especially in the spiritual areas, the Christian living, work of the church, work in the home, fatherhood, motherhood, and so on. See, particular lack in these areas can come at a very high cost. If we lack, if there's an insufficiency, an inability, that inability, if not bridged by an almighty God, can come at a very high cost. The cost of lost souls, the cost of wayward children. And I know children have their own choice to make, so that's not a blanket statement. So some of these things can come at a very high cost. Too high. The cost is too high. So moving into material areas, as we think about responsibilities that are placed upon us, such as making a living, paying the bills. We dads have a very, very much is it laid to on our shoulders to provide for the home. To provide for our wife and our children, to make the mortgage payments, to pay the bills. I remember those struggles. I'm 52 now, and things eased up a little bit. Those years of your shoulder to the grindstone, as they say, it's laid upon our shoulders. To the wife, cleaning, cooking, taking care of the little ones. We could just think of a general thing as time management. It's a responsibility placed upon us. If there's a lack, then there's going to be a cost extracted from that in our life. We talk about organization. So lack in these areas come with a cost as well. Not the same as the cost of a lack in spiritual areas, but still it exacts a cost. So what do we do about this? What is a person to do about the areas where we lack, the areas of our insufficiency? Do we just accept the costs that are exacted? So, well, that's just who I am. I don't have this ability, and I know it's going to cost this. It's going to be exacted from me. It's going to cost in the spiritual life. It's going to cost this. In my material life, it's going to cost this. Do we just accept that cost? Do we just accept the lack as God's will for me? God didn't make me with this ability, and so I just don't have that. That's God's will for me. As I looked and rolled back through the years of my mind, and I observed people, or reobserved people, maybe I should say, this verse came to my mind. The scripture speaks about those that have tremendous insufficiency, tremendous inability. And he's speaking in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2, to, I believe, leaders and pastors, how to deal with this. And it says that he needs to be a priest or a person that is called, that is able to have compassion on the ignorant and those out of the way. So scripture is telling us that there are those that are so destitute of wisdom, the lack is so great, that scripture calls them ignorant and out of the way. Now, it's a little hard for pastors to walk up to people and give them that definition. Probably none of you have ever heard that. But are these people, is it true, should a husband or a father in the home just say, oh, I just wasn't made to be a good father? Or I just wasn't made to be a good mother. I just don't have the ability that brother so-and-so has or sister so-and-so has. I'm just one of those ignorant ones and out of the way. That's who I am, and I'm going to, I accept that. Well, we already read James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. There's another passage in Matthew 7 that gives us direction. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And I believe the scripture is speaking specifically about spiritual areas where we can grow in faith and grow in holiness, because God answers those prayers. Now, I don't think we should take these verses out into the material world and say, God, I want my mortgage to go away within 2 weeks, and I want a job that pays twice as much as I'm bringing in now, and we expect that to be fulfilled. And say, well, the Bible says, if you ask, you receive, and if you all these things. I believe this is specifically speaking of spiritual growth and walking with God in areas of being more like our master and lack in those areas. So, the first area of the message is simply ask of God. Ask of God. And we need to ask of God. Number one, I believe we need to ask wisdom of God. We need to pray to Him. We need to get on our knees, on our face, and say, God, give me wisdom to see my lack, to see my insufficiency, as Solomon did there. In his dream, as he's relating, communicating with God, he's saying, I am but a little child, and this responsibility that you've given me is something that in my own strength, I cannot do it. I don't have what it takes. And so I believe we need to ask God to see our lack, to realize our needs. Until we see our needs, we will not know where we need to improve. And so we need to examine ourselves. And this is a Bible principle. We use this verse in council meeting a lot. 2 Corinthians 13:5, where it says, examine yourselves whether ye are in the faith. And so it's a Bible principle to be introspective, to look at ourselves, to see where our strong points are, to see where our lack is. There's another verse that talks about examining ourselves, and that is in Luke chapter 14, where it says, the person that sits down to build a tower, who is it that doesn't sit down first and counts the cost? He's introspective, and he says, okay, do I have what it takes to complete this tower, to begin building the tower, to see it through, and to finish it? And the principle there is that we look at ourselves and we say, who am I? What gifts do I have? What inabilities do I have? What responsibilities do I have? And we measure those abilities and inabilities against the responsibilities that we have and say, Lord, show me my lack. We ask God, show me my lack. Am I successful in the things that are mine to fulfill? It's another way of examining ourselves. Am I being successful? Is my marriage successful? Is my family life successful? Is my spiritual life successful? Am I walking with God? Am I having that devotional life, that prayer life like it should be? Am I successful in those things? We could look at the other side. We look at our life and say, well, you know, I don't know where the inabilities are, but we could say, well, is there loss or costs that are being exacted from me in my realm of responsibility? And we look. It's really what we do in business. We look and say, well, if the money coming in is not meeting the bills, or if it just seems like product is not, the sales aren't good, or the efficiency isn't good, which relates to our shop being efficient. And so you look at this and you say, what cost is being exacted from us because of our inability, because of our insufficiency? We look at that side of it. That directs us then to our inability so that we can make adjustments. And I've said this many times, and you'll probably recognize it, and I've said it many times, that it is more crucial to recognize our weak areas than it is to recognize our strengths. Because our strengths just happen. It's who we are. It's natively there, and it just comes out, and it comes out in success. It comes out in doing good things. It's there. And natively, we just excel at certain things. And so those things will go on by themselves because they are a part of us. They will just go on and on and be good because that's what we're good at. But the things that we are insufficient in the inabilities, that's the things that we push to the side or are unaware of. And so it's so crucial to recognize those weak areas, because those weak areas are the things that are costing us. That is what is costing us. That's what costs us in our spiritual life. It's what costs us in our home life. It's what costs us in our marriage. It's these weak areas. And so it is crucial to recognize these weak areas so we can make the adjustments and be the people that God wants us to be and fulfill the responsibilities that He wants us to fulfill. So we think about spiritual lethargy. In other words, a spiritual laziness or spiritual disinterested. Are we awake and alive for God? Is there spiritual failure in our life? And we're thinking about the point of God, show me my lack. Are there broken relationships that are part of the people connected to you and you can do something about? Or maybe are the problem? And so if you're surrounded with broken relationships or even a single broken relationship, it's a good thing to look and say, what part of this is mine? Is part of this mine? It doesn't always mean there is, but it's something, again, we look. We check it out. God, show me my lack. We already talked about this. Marital conflict, ill-behaved children, neglect in providing for spiritual, emotional, and material needs of our families. We could talk about addictions, addictions of following the news, addictions of following sports. Am I allowed to say that here? Addictions of following politics, addictions of YouTube. So we need to just be honest with ourselves and who we are. We're people. We're people. We have inabilities. We have lack. We have things, even okay things, that will rob us and exact a cost from us that many times is too high. Too high. We don't want that cost. We need to examine ourselves as far as spiritual life. We talked about that. But also, am I emotionally well? Am I physically well? Am I facing life with hope and optimism? So it's not just looking at the spiritual things, but it's looking at all of our life and say, where do I lack? Because a parent or a spouse that is unhealthy, it can help direct us in a way to either get help or understand the difficulty that is there as we relate to that. There does seem, as we think about this, living this life and the responsibilities that are placed on our shoulders, we seem to be very strong and it's right in a perspective. Very strong that we bear up under what is our responsibility to do, and we see it through, and I'm going to do this, and I'm not giving up, and that those are good things. Those are good things. Disciplined lifestyle. We're not going to let it get the best of us, right? We've all had those feelings. But there is this, seems to be an unspoken, excruciating pressure to be a hero in every area. So sometimes, in turn, it's easier to make ourselves believe we are within the acceptable measurement threshold in all areas, because it can be embarrassing to admit lack. I know that's a long point. But because of this disciplined lifestyle we live in, it has something to do with our culture, our church culture, I believe, our Mennonite plain culture. Work hard, get it done. And again, I agree with that. And I believe I am that. But there's this other side of it that we need to be, as people, we need to be able to admit that I don't always have all that it takes to do everything that is mine to do. There's an honesty in that that is going to keep us healthy. There's an honesty in that that's going to keep us sane. And there's an honesty in that that's going to keep us humble, help keep us humble. And so my encouragement is that it's okay to say this looks too big to me. And especially we're on the point of asking God to give us wisdom. And in on this thought of admitting our lack, so just a little illustration. In physical life, a person who cannot swim falls into the deepest end of the pond. He's very much in danger of drowning. His friends are safe on land nearby. Now the question is, what does the person in the water say? Probably an 8-year-old, maybe even a 6-year-old answer this question. The person, he's in the pond, he cannot swim, his friends are safe on land. What does he say? He says, "Help, I can't swim," right? And that will come naturally. Wouldn't it come naturally? If I fall in the water and I can't swim, I will naturally, if I see someone especially, I will be saying, "Help, I'm drowning. Help, I can't swim." But you know what? In ordinary life, that's hard to say. Mm-hmm. It can be hard to say. Help, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I can't swim. There's people around. But but to admit that lack, and that's what I'm talking about, sometimes the excruciating pressure to be a hero on every level, in every area. And so sometimes we just say, well, I think I'm within okay, I'm within doable, and so I'm just not going to say anything, because to admit lack is embarrassing. So in that call for help, the person that falls into the pond, excuse me, in that call for help, we know the person understands their lack, right? It come right out. It says, "Help!" That means I am in trouble. That means I am insufficient. That means I have an inability. They understand their lack, their inability, and that it is very important to ask for help, because the cost of not asking is too high. That all comes out when the man falls in the water and he says, "Help, I can't swim." Number two in the first area, ask of God. So we need to ask God for wisdom for enablement. So first of all, we ask God wisdom to see our lack. Number two is wisdom for enablement. So Solomon said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart." He says, "God, this is what I need. Dear God, please enable me for the responsibilities that are mine. I know my lack. I see my lack. I see my inability. Please enable me. I need that which I do not have in my present state. There are gaps in my abilities that need bridged, and I have not the materials nor the strength. to bridge those gaps. And Lord, I know that my weakness will exact a cost that is too dear to pay. Please give thy servant, this was Solomon's prayer, please give thy servant, and that should be our prayer to God, please give thy servant that I may profit in my responsibilities, that I may profit others in my responsibilities, that the cost is not exacted in the souls of my family, in the souls of the church people. Please, Lord, give thy servant. Let him ask of God. Going to the second area of the message. And I took this phrase from 1 Kings 3:12, and that is, lo, I have given thee. This was God's word to Solomon. When Solomon had given his request to God, admitted his inability, and said, please give thy servant, God comes back with the answer, lo, I have given thee. What beautiful words. What a confirmation. What encouragement. And so we know that Solomon was given that understanding heart, that wisdom. None before him or after him equaled his wisdom. He's renowned for his wisdom, considered the wisest man of all time. That's what God gave him. But the question that came to me then as I considered this meditation, how does God give to his servants? How does he give to you and I, to the Christians, to those that are dedicated, to those that understand their lack? They pray and say, God, here's my lack. I see my lack. Lord, I need enablement. How does God come into those lives and bridge the gaps? Give ability, give enablement. How does God do that? I have three points I'd like to consider this morning. And number one is, in answer to the question, direct divine enablement. And that is Holy Spirit power. We could possibly call it grace, where God pours upon us something that previously we did not have because we asked, or because of someone else's prayer. God pours ability into your life in response to your request, just like he did for Solomon. Solomon says, give thy servant, and God said, lo, I have given thee. I don't know if we understand how often this may happen or how often it could happen if we would but beseech the Lord for those things. Lord, give thy servant. God pours ability into your life in response to your request. Or God pours ability into your life in response to others' request. As it says in James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Why? That ye may be healed. And so there is a power in others praying for us, others praying for you, and there is power in us praying for ourselves. Lord, give thy servant. There's inability in my life. And so let's not forget to pray for one another. And that came to me in a new way as a study did, because I know it, in prayer meetings sometimes the prayer requests will come up. Let's pray for each other. That's beautiful. Pray for each other, because as it says in James, and I don't think it's talking about just, it's not talking about physical healing necessarily, because it's talking about confessing your faults one to another and then praying for one another because of these faults. And why? Because so that ye are healed. And so in praying for each other, God pours his grace and ability into people's lives in different measures where they need it. And so it's important to pray for one another. It's important to pray specifically for a struggling person, someone struggling spiritually, someone struggling in their marriage, someone struggling in their home, a child struggling in their home. It's important to pray because it says that ye may be healed. And that is that God is going to, he is able and will give direct divine enablement, Holy Spirit power poured into that life. and again. I believe it is real that we may not see this as much as we could if we would but ask, if we would but pray. Thinking about the thought of others praying, 1 Timothy 4:14, this is about an ordination charge. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. A little over 20 years ago, at my ordination service, and I'll try not to get emotional, because this is emotional for me. I knelt right there. And there was a laying on of hands of the presbytery. And I felt a distinct power, a distinct difference from that moment. Those hands on my shoulders, I don't remember who it was at the ordination service anymore, but those hands were hot. They were so hot, I almost couldn't stand it on my back, my shoulders. And there was like an electric pulse. That I felt. There was something given to me that day that I did not previously have. And that was because of the prayers of others, the laying on of hands at the presbytery. And God said, lo, I have given thee. And so there is this direct divine enablement that God gives. And so as you consider your life this morning, the responsibilities that you have, the responsibility that you have as a, we went over those, father, husband, mother, wife, child in the home. You think about your responsibilities, work-related responsibilities, whatever it is. God is saying, he that lacks in wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. And so there is one of the ways that God bridges the gaps of our inabilities. One of the ways he bridges the gaps, one of the ways that he fills in for us is that he gives direct divine enablement. And that from that point forward, we have something that we did not have before. It does not mean that we will be now correct in every area, in every level, and in every place. It just means for specific things, God gives that. He pours that power into our life. The second thing, asking the question, how does God enable his children? I believe the second thing is enablement by revealed truth. Enablement by revealed truth. And so we pray and ask God for this. We need this ability because of our lack. And this is where he speaks to us and we understand that we need to change, adjust, or grow, or so on. And that understanding comes by the truth of the scriptures. As we're reading the word, we say, oh, there's my answer. Oh, there's where I need to change. Oh, that's how I'm supposed to do life. Oh, that's how I'm supposed to be a husband. Oh, that's how I'm supposed to be a father. Oh, that's how I'm supposed to be a mother. And we read it. So God gives us that wisdom by revealing his truth to us. And that is another reason to be into the word as his children, as Christians, reading the word, because the revealed truth as he places it upon us and enables us to understand it, we can apply it to our life to make those changes, to make those adjustments, to grow as we should. And so we understand the truth of Scripture coming into our minds, where it is processed and taken into the heart and applied to our life. This is how God gives wisdom, one of his ways that he gives wisdom to his people. It comes through prayer, personal Bible study. It comes by listening in preaching services. It comes in Sunday school discussions and so on and so on. as we discuss, as we look at, as we examine the truth of God's word, he reveals to us, he gives to us his wisdom as to how to do life and how to fulfill our responsibilities. Ephesians 3:16 says this, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. It comes through his revealed truth as we take it in, as we process it, as we take it into our heart and apply it to our life, that he is being strengthened by his might in the inner man. Now, as we think about this point, truth being revealed to us, the first point was this direct divine enablement where God just pours it in and gives ability, and boom, from there away, we have that ability. This one, enablement by revealed truth, means the truth comes to us, and now guess what? There's work for us to do. It's a miracle in that God revealed it to us. It's divine that God revealed it to us. But God says, that's the part I'm giving you. Now from here away, you need to make some choices. If you remember with me in Matthew chapter 19, verse 20, that young man that came to Jesus and said, what did he say? I kept the commandments to do this and that. Well, I think his first question was, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked a few questions, and he said he fulfilled all the commandments from youth up. And he said, what lack I yet? And Jesus said, you go sell all you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. Remember what it says about him? He went away sorrowful. So we see in that picture that Jesus revealed the truth to him. Jesus said, here's what you lack. And the man went away sorrowful because the work that he needed to do was too painful, too difficult. And that's what I want to point out in this point. I want to encourage us, when the revealed truth comes to us, we have a work to do that we must do if that cost will not be exacted from our lack. We have work to do. And so overcoming lack is difficult. It can be very difficult. It can be very painful. But that is that is the way that God, one of the ways God reveals it to us. And if that's the way he brings it to us, then God truly believes that we have within us, after the truth has come to us, that we need to make the decision, and he will give us the strength to walk and change, grow, etc., to again bridge the gap, the inability, the insufficiencies. The third way that God enables his children, as we again asked, we know our inabilities, we know our insufficiencies, and we ask, we pray to God, and he gives us this. He gives us enablement by fellow Christians, or maybe through fellow Christians. Enablement through fellow Christians. And this is where God uses other Christians to bridge our lack. And there are at least two ways that others come into our lives to help. Number one, we can invite them in. Please help me. Number two, they come uninvited. So, thinking of the first one, to invite is to say, help, I can't swim. That is where we verbalize our lack to our brothers, to our sisters, to someone we believe can help us, and we verbalize that. We ask for assistance. We might ask counsel of others. What should I do in this situation? Something's not working out. And we ask assistance. Then it comes through our, and that's what brings me to the point for Larry. I think what was in my mind, there was a 5 in my mind, so I was in 1 Kings 5, and I was like, this isn't right. And so God sent me Larry. He came into my life uninvited. No, I did invite him. I said, would someone help me? I believe I did invite him. So he covered, God used Larry to bridge the gap in my inability to find where I was as I was trying to get this sermon out, or get it started rather. And it's a beautiful thing. So, in this thing of inviting others in, it is important as in all levels of lack, the whole way from spiritual, the whole way to physical ailments, to emotional deficiencies, just all of life, even material, even in making a living. It's important that we deliberately seek out an individual that is strong in the particular area wherein we lack. And we need to ask direct questions. So we understand our lack, and we say, well, who in the congregation could help me with this? Because we might say, well, you know, I'm having trouble with my three-year-old. He isn't listening. He's not responding to discipline. Something's going on. So you look around the congregation and you say, you know what? There's an older gentleman. His family seemed like he had order and structure in his home, and his children obeyed him and so on. So you go to that older brother and you say, you know what? Do you have anything to tell me in child training? There's something, there's a lack going on in my home right now. I don't know what it is, but, and so you share with him. You verbalize. You ask for assistance. You ask his counsel. You ask the direct questions. And this is one of the ways that God uses to cover, to bridge our lack. It's called a brotherhood. And as you think about a congregation and the strengths that are here, I am sure that there are strengths here that bridge the lack that I have. And it's a big enough group of people that, you know, we can make a bridge everywhere we need one in our life. Don't you think so? I think so. So we need to deliberately seek out that person, say, who is it that could help me? Who is it that could direct me? Who is it that can help me because I'm drowning? So we could ask direct questions about child training, about spiritual lack. I'm not excited about, you can find your brothers. I'm just not excited about living the Christian life. I'm just not excited about reading the Bible. Say, what can you teach me? You seem so inspired about reading the Bible and about teaching the Bible. You seem so inspired about the Christian life. What can you share with me to help me in my lack of interest in spiritual things? Like that. You look for people. Financial difficulty. You do the same thing. So, inviting others, I think the second point in that is that we delegate to others. There's certain things in life we can delegate because we just are not good at it. And I will say, when you do this, you take the risk of looking lazy. But it is not laziness to find someone that can do something well that you cannot do well. And you find someone that will do it well, whether it's in the congregation, whether it's in business life or whatever. You find someone that does it well, so that people are blessed and God's work can go on. And delegation is a Bible principle. We could go to the account in Acts 6 where there was a, what term does it use? There was a murmuring, I believe, among the Grecians about the widows being neglected. And so what came out of that, the disciples said, well, we're busy preaching. You know, it doesn't seem like our type of work. So there was an ordination of 7 deacons to cover that work. So there was a delegation. And so we can delegate work. And this is to employ others to bridge what we cannot do. It might be, it could be as easy as book work. In home life, and this is a very physical, material example, but he's like, you know what, it's just hard for you to keep the book straight or whatever. And so you talk about it and say, well, you know what, why don't we get someone to do that for us, hire someone. Or maybe the husband feels like it's his responsibility to do the checkbook and the book work and so on, but guess what, his lovely wife is just great with numbers and organized and knows how to do that. He said, you know what, would you be willing to do this? And so he delegates it. Is he still a leader? Yes, he's a leader. He's making sure it gets done. He's making sure it gets done well. And he's delegating. He's not shirking his responsibility. It's just that it just doesn't work for him. And that goes into so many areas. some of the greatest, most memorable leaders in history couldn't possibly accomplish their responsibilities and ideas alone. So what did they do? They employed others. Let's go to the uninvited assistants. God uses this as well. Uninvited assistants. And this is when someone observes a need or lack in our life and is prompted to aid us, to help us, to bridge the lack, to speak to the lack. This can be in many different ways. We tend to look at it in a negative light. But Brother Walker had the devotions on the Good Samaritan, and I had that written down for an example of this point. So the Good Samaritan, he's going down the road one day, he sees a man laying there, and uninvited, he goes to that man's aid because he's seen the need. He's seen, what's called the lack, the inability of that man to help himself, so he came into that life uninvited because it required that. So this can be through encouragement. It doesn't have to be negative. We don't have to feel negative about it. It can be in correction. It can be in challenge. We're a brother to a brother, sister to a sister. Leadership to laity, laity to leadership, a challenge. Galatians 2 talks about Paul, the Apostle Paul, said where he withstood Peter to the face. That was, he challenged Peter because Peter was not acting in a way he should. He was, when he was with the Jews, I believe he was not eating with the Gentiles. I'm saying whenever the Jews were around, he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles because it looked bad because of their culture and so on. And Paul said, I withstood him to the face. He came into Peter's life uninvited and said, what you're doing is not right. What are we talking about? We're talking about ways that God uses to enable us in our lack, in our inability, in the things that are not right in our life. Could be by sharing an observation. Could be a giving of labor and finances. And that goes on and on. I think you understand the point. But I'd like to give the point this way, because the truth of this point is often distasteful to us, of people coming into our life uninvited. And I don't think it should be that way. And I understand that feeling of it being distasteful. I'm a man. I've experienced that. But this just feels distasteful to me. But it should not be that to us. And so I'd like to give an example, hypothetical example. You may have heard this story of people coming, of how God helps through people. So a certain man was, or a certain area, was forecasting a flood. An old man lived in this area, and that was to be hardest hit. And the man, being a believer, a Christian, he prays about it, and he feels that he heard God saying that, don't worry, I will take care of you. So as the rain system approached, people were sent to encourage evacuating the area. They knocked on the door of the old man's house and said, please, sir, you need to leave here and go to a safe place. To which the old man replied, no, I'm staying because God told me he will take care of me. Soon the rain commences and the creeks begin to rise. And as the water rises to the old man's front door, someone is sent by boat to rescue the old man. Again, he refuses, saying that God promised to take care of him. Finally, the water rises to the second floor of the old man's house. So he climbs onto the roof, where a rescue helicopter spots him, hovers above him, and sends down by rope a man to save him. The old man refuses to be rescued, saying, God said he will keep me safe. The rescue person climbs the rope back to the helicopter, and they speed away. The water keeps rising. Finally, the old man is swept away with his house, and he drowns. As he enters heaven, the old man is overjoyed to be there, but says, I do have one question, God. I believed I would not die by the flood because you told me that in the flood you would take care of me. To which God replied, I did my part. I sent people to warn you to evacuate. I sent people by boat to rescue you. And finally, I sent people by helicopter to rescue you. But each time, you refused my care. So as we pray to God, and say, God, help me in my lack, he may send some uninvited people, invited people, whatever. Let's not view that as distasteful, because it may be the care and the rescue that God has specifically designed for you or for me And so let's just remember that. So as humans, thinking about this little story, as humans, when we dislike the wrapping paper the help arrives in, it's easy to reject it. So again, this morning I want us to look at our lives, and it's very ordinary to see the lack that we have. But it's perhaps extraordinary to beseech God in a very real way that he would show us that in a way, that he would enable us, and then that we would accept and receive the help that he sends our way in his care, so that we would not have to pay the great cost of the lack that is present there. And I'd just like to read these verses again in Matthew 7, verses 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So again this morning, there is help available. Let's press on and receive the help that is there. Let's pray.